So I love Jonah. Everything about his story, it's just so real and honest. And unlike most biblical prophets who dutifully proclaim God's messages to others, Jonah says no. Well, he doesn't specifically say no, but the message is pretty clear. Previous to the tiny section we get in our reading today, God tells Jonah, "Go at once to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah doesn't want to. Nineveh was the capital of Assyria, and the Assyrians were the sworn enemies of the Israelites. They were mean, they waged war, they murdered, they plundered Jonah's people. And for as much as Jonah should want to go and proclaim divine retribution on a people he despises, he has a concern. And it's a valid concern for anyone who has had a relationship with God. God loves mercy. It's an annoying trait sometimes, especially when what you really want is for God to do some significant smiting of your enemies. I'm sure we've all been there, maybe not to the degree of destroying an entire city, but maybe someone cuts you off in traffic. Have you ever thought to yourself, "God, I just really hope they get a ticket"? Or maybe someone famous commits a crime. You get a little wry smile on your face, and you're just like, "Ah, God, throw the book at him." Maybe it is some really rich person who gets caught for tax evasion or some dubious financial crime, and you're just so glad to see them get their comeuppance. We like to feel like justice gets served, that there is divine retribution ready for those who don't follow the rules like we do, who don't live their lives like we do, who have done something that maybe has offended us. Jonah's no different. He hates the Ninevites because they have made his life and his people's life hard and miserable. And just like us, Jonah wants his version of justice to be served. In Jonah's case, it's the angry destruction type. But here's his problem. He is afraid to go proclaim God's message to Nineveh because he is deeply concerned that maybe, just maybe, they might repent. Maybe they will change their ways. Maybe God might not destroy them. So Jonah does exactly what any toddler would do when asked to do something they don't want to do. He turns around and he runs the other way. He runs to the sea, where he boards a boat. Then there's a storm, and the crew throws Jonah overboard, where he's eaten by a fish. And there he sits for 3 days, in a fish. The smell alone must have been atrocious. But then, at God's command, and let's not lie, it's something Jonah probably deserved, the fish barfs him up on the shore. And that's where our reading starts today. So God, ever the persistent one, tries again. Jonah gets the same command to go to Nineveh, and this time he goes. But I have to believe he does it with all of the sulkiness and moping and foot-dragging of a teenager. But he does go, nonetheless. My guess is that Jonah has finally realized that no matter where he goes or what he does, God would pursue him. He can't outrun God anywhere, not even in the belly of a giant fish. So he walks for a day and gets to Nineveh and proclaims what God tells him, 40 days more and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And then all to Jonah's horror, the people of Nineveh believed, or a better word is trusted, God. They proclaimed a fast, and everyone, great and small, put on sackcloth. They repented. They trusted that God would be good on God's word, and that was not going to end well for them. And now, it's a real shame because the lectionary skips over several verses, just right to the end in what we get. And it's in these verses that we hear about how the people repent. And we really lose out on something if we don't hear them. So I'm going to share them with you now. When word of it reached the king of Nineveh, he got up from his throne, stripped himself of his robe, covered himself with mourning clothes, and sat in ashes. Then he announced, "In Nineveh, by decree of the king and his officials, neither human nor animal, cattle nor flock will taste anything. No grazing and no drinking water. Let humans and animals alike put on mourning clothes. Let them call upon God forcefully. And let all persons stop their evil behavior and the violence that's under their control." He thought, who knows? God may see this and turn from his wrath so that we might not perish. Starting with the king, Nineveh puts on sackcloths and fasts, including all of the animals. It's kind of a comic scene. A bunch of cows running around with sackcloth and sitting in ashes. But repentance spreads, starting with the richest and most powerful person, and then ripples all the way down to the cows and sheep and the animals. It's very powerful. All of Nineveh is in solidarity. They want and have a strong desire to change their ways. They are saying with their actions that they will stop their evil behavior and stop any violence under their control. Which, let's be honest, it's what God wanted. And what's curious is they do it with no certainty at all that it will have any effect. They don't know if God will change God's mind. They do it whether or not God punishes them, whether or not God forgives them. And the king says, who knows? God may see this and turn from his wrath so that we might not perish. Now, as a parent of a 4-year-old, I see frequently how easy it is to be sorry when you get caught, but are well aware that an adorable, "I'm sorry, Daddy," will magically get you out of trouble. But it's another thing entirely to repent without certainty, to feel grief over your actions and change your life, knowing full well that it may make no difference in the outcome. That there is no get-out-of-jail-free card, and that you may well still be punished despite your change of heart. And that's exactly what the Ninevites do. And God changed God's mind. God didn't bring calamity on them. In doing this, though, Jonah's greatest fear is realized. His desire for Nineveh isn't coming true. They're not being punished. Instead, God showed them mercy. But what Jonah forgets is that it was never about Jonah's wrath. It was never about Jonah's anger. It was never about Jonah's hurt. It was never about Jonah's forgiveness. It was all about God. And if you noticed in there, God never tells Jonah that he can't still be angry with the Ninevites. God never tells Jonah that he has to forgive them. But God, in God's mercy, acts differently than we do. God's justice is not served with vengeance or spite, but with mercy and love. And unlike Jonah, God wants what is best for Nineveh. Destroying them, it isn't that. But correcting their course, helping them to change their ways and live as God dreams for them, that is God's justice. And it's frustrating, sure, but it's also hopeful. As much as we might enjoy people getting what we think is coming to them, would we want that for ourselves? Wouldn't we mess up, and we all do, what kind of justice would we want? One marked by wrath or by love? And the bigger question is whether we can suspend our own frustration and hurt to begin to see others as beloved by God. And that maybe God just wants them to be better, even if we still hate their guts. I love Jonah. He's just like us. And maybe we can learn what to do by just avoiding his example.